Anya sat in one of the chairs at the dining table and watched Rue. He was already in her apartment when Ishmael had dropped her off 20 minutes ago. Now he stood at the stove and worked with a confident air. The aroma of food filled the loft and whetted Anya's considerable appetite. It had been more than a day since her last proper meal. Rue covered the skillet full of meatballs and turned his attention to the sauce simmering in another pan.
So, tell me the latest tidbit about this mysterious belt plaque.
I was told that the carving on the belt plaque might tie in with a group of assassins that lived along the Silk Road. Warriors that Xia Wu Ying trained.
Xia Wu Ying's warriors were more thieves than assassins.
You seem to know a lot about them.
I do.
Rue walked over to the refrigerator and took out the bag of salad, pouring it into a bowl.
So how long did you know Xia Wu Ying?
Never met him, but I've heard of him.
Well, what do you know that I don't?
Xia Wu Ying built a city in the desert around Lulan City. I'd heard it was called City of the Sands, and for the most part it was filled with thieves.
Have you been there?
No, it was lost. The desert has reclaimed much of what man has built out there. Entire civilizations were swallowed whole.
But the City of the Sands did exist?
Yes, and several others besides. Most of them had their bones picked clean by those who struggled to stay and survive. But some are still buried out there under tons of sand.
And the stories about Xia Wu Ying are true?
Some of them are true.
What about the one that says Xia Wu Ying was immortal?
I've never met a man who was immortal.
Oh, really?
I'm not immortal.
So what happened to Xia Wu Ying?
I don't know for sure. Either he was killed.
By whom?
Do you know what a fox spirit is?
Yes.
One of those.
I see.
Anya filed away Rue's words for later reference. She needed to take a look at the fox spirit myth again. Maybe there was something she'd missed.
So, your source is sure the City of the Sands was near Lulan?
Yes. According to what little has been written about the place, that's where it was.
And why has he more been written?
Are you familiar with Chinese history?
Of course.
Then you know the Qin Dynasty preceded the Han Dynasty.
Yes.
After Emperor Qin died in 210 BC, he was succeeded by his second son.
The first son died?
Fu Su, the eldest son, was ordered by his father's will to commit suicide to make way for the second son, Hu Hai.
Why did Qin want his second son to rule?
He didn't. The imperial secretariat, Li Si, conspired with the chief eunuch, Zhao Gao, to alter the emperor's will. They wanted Hu Hai to take control of the country because they could manipulate him. They stripped command from the army leader and had his family killed. They continued alienating the country until uprisings started.
Sounds like a recipe for failure. So the peasants revolted against Hu Hai.
Yes, and Zhao Gao forced Hu Hai to commit suicide.
I guess if you've got a winning strategy, you stay with it.
I suppose, but it didn't help. He had Zi Ying, Fu Su's oldest son, named as emperor, then tried to win the people over, but it was too late. Zi Ying had other plans. He killed Zhao Gao and surrendered the throne to Liu Bang, the general who had risen up to command the army against the emperor. But there was still yet another general who wanted to be king.
There always is. Unless you kill everyone with any ambition whatsoever.
That general's name was Xiang Yu. After Zi Ying surrendered to Liu Bang, Liu Bang was going to appoint Zi Ying as prime minister because he was strong, had killed Zhao Gao, and was liked by many people. Xiang killed Zi Ying, then burned the Qin Palace to the ground. That included the royal library, where, presumably, several royal histories were kept.
Well, I suppose that's when everything got confusing. It is time to eat, Anya, before it gets cold.
Anya turned towards the food, even though she was brimming with questions. She knew from experience that it wouldn't have done any good to ask them. Rue wouldn't answer until he was ready to, and even then, she couldn't be positive she was going to get the truth.
Dr. Hu, do you have a minute?
Grateful for the interruption, Dr. Michael Hu put down the small shovel he was using and glanced up from the sweltering heat of the pit. He smiled widely as he turned to face Song Xin. He dropped to his knee on the loose planks used as a platform in the pit to keep workers above the artifact-packed ground where they labored. The young graduate student was in charge of the computers that kept the documentation of the dig organized and provided communications.
What is the matter, Song?
I have something you should see, Professor.
Hu hesitated. He'd been so hopeful at the start of the dig, but now he was beginning to believe that Lulan City's bones had been picked almost clean. Leaning against the dirt embankment, Hu caught Song's hand, then scrambled up the side as the younger man pulled. Out of the hole, the heat seemed even greater. Here, the desert sun could burn down on them relentlessly, and the wind sucked the moisture from his body. It took only seconds before he felt like he was baking. Hu followed Song to the tent that housed the crew's communications. The professor had cut deals with several international television agencies prior to the expedition. In exchange for his agreement to provide footage on the items he dug up, they would sponsor the vital communication system necessary for any scientific operation. Song sat in front of a computer and pointed to the monitor.
I've been cruising through websites as you suggested, looking for any information on Lulan that we might have missed. What I've discovered is that our expedition has gained quite a following since we've started our work. It seems that items possibly originating in Lulan are at the center of a criminal investigation in the United States. I discovered this photograph of a particular item that was at the source of a gun battle in California. Three people were killed.
Could you enlarge it a little?
This is the exact item we were looking for here, isn't it? The tiger.
Yes. Where did you find this?
One of the archaeological websites.
Can you contact the person who posted this?
Yes, sir.
Do so immediately. I want to speak to them as soon as possible.
Professor, you do know that Guy Kuan Yin is also searching for the tiger.
I do.
For all we know, the person who posted this may already be working for Guy.
If so, we'll soon find out.
It's done, Professor. I have posted the message.
Good. Let me know if you get a response.
Dr. Hu put his hat back on and stepped from the relative coolness of the tent back out into the fetid heat of the desert. Movement caught his eye. In the distance, vultures circled, riding thermals in a high rotating column. A chill shook him. Something had died out there. Hu had always found that camels were better suited to traversing the tall desert sand dunes than jeeps or motorcycles, but they certainly weren't as comfortable. The professor lurched precariously in the saddle, with Song beside him, barely hanging on to his own mount. Two other men, locals who had hired to help with the dig, rode their own camels on either side of them. Assault rifles hung from holsters at their side. Hu had tried to talk them out of carrying the weapons in plain sight, but they had ignored him. They had made the long climb up the face of a shifting sand dune and were now headed to traverse its ridgeline. Hu took out a pair of binoculars and gazed at the dark speck lying on the sand ahead of him. There was no question the man was dead. He lay still, curled in a fetal position, as the carrion birds worked at his corpse with their sharp beaks. Song shaded his eyes with a hand.
Is it a man, Professor?
Indeed it is, Song.
I suppose, then, that there's no need to hurry.
We should take care not to strain ourselves, but the vultures will make quick work of him. We should retrieve him as soon as possible. Let's go.
Hu commanded his camel to kneel, and he rocked in the saddle as the massive animal lowered itself to the ground. The arrival of the caravan had scared the vultures, but the big ungainly birds hadn't left the area. The dead man was covered in blood, along with a light frosting of dust and dirt. Yao, the elder of the two locals, looked ill at ease. He propped his rifle on his saddle horn.
We should leave this man here and not risk ourselves.
I can't just leave someone out here at the mercy of those birds. That's inhuman.
Yet you root through the graves of others.
That's not the same thing.
Well, if this man were to remain out here for 1,000 years, some other archaeologist might find him interesting.
Life in the desert was lived barely on the edge of subsistence. Hu supposed a lack of sentimentality was understandable. Swinging a leg over the saddle pommel, Hu dropped to the ground. The camel remained still on its folded legs. The smell of death hung over the scene, sharp and pungent.